Welcome to the Indian Journal of Law and Public Policy podcast.
Hello and welcome everyone. I'm your host, Jehosh Paul, the Editor-in-Chief of the Indian Journal of Law and Public Policy. Today, we have a very special guest, Ms. Bhavya Sharma. Ms. Bhavya Sharma is the founder of Bhavya Sharma & Associates BSA, a professional business consultancy. She is a fellow company secretary and a lawyer. She has worked as an assistant manager, legal and secretarial with RSM International, the sixth largest professional consultancy in the world. Post that, she founded her own firm, BSA, in the year 2018. They cater end-to-end compliance needs of their clients all across the globe and have a 100% successful ratio of due diligence with Indian startups. Bhavya, a very warm welcome from IJLPP to you.
Thank you so much, Josh. It's nice to be here. I hope I'm properly audible to you now. And glad we are here to discuss so many things about the legalities a startup deals with. So, yes, I'm just looking forward for this session.
To acquaint our listeners to the subject matter at hand, as we all know, the Startup India initiative was announced by the Honorable Prime Minister of India on 15th August 2015. The flagship initiative aimed at building a strong ecosystem for nurturing innovation and startups in the country that will drive sustainable economic growth and generate large-scale employment opportunities. Government of India has made fast-paced efforts towards making the vision of Startup India initiative a reality. Substantial progress has been made under the Startup India initiative, which has stirred entrepreneurial spirit across the country. Today on our podcast, we will be discussing a plethora of issues on this subject matter, and it includes questions such as, what are the most important legal documents needed to start a startup in India? How accommodative is the Indian legal scenario with respect to startups? What are the most important documents a startup should procure at the outset? What are the legal compliances required in India? What are the legal challenges faced by the startups in India? And what can be done to improve the situation? What are the trends in the growth of startups and whether various schemes of government have aided their expansion? Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, George. Thanks for such a kind introduction and the brief you have given about the Startup India scheme recently launched by the government. And I think it's quite a time and Indian industry is quite useful with the fancy and millennial terms like startup funding, valuations. But still, there are so many things which we still need to learn, whether from a legal perspective or from being a startup entrepreneur. So we can discuss it here. So I'll take your questions one by one. So if we talk about, like you've asked me that how accommodating is the Indian legal scenario with respect to startups. So Jehosh, I would like to bifurcate this in the two parts, like post pre-introduction of Startup India scheme by the government and post-introduction. Pre-introduction, you can say, so there was a straight line, like straight line of compliance for all the companies, irrespective whether they are big or the small, they need to comply on the more or less on the similar lines. But post-introduction of Startup India by the Indian government, it will become quite easy for the new entrepreneurs to do business or pursue their passion by opening or establishing a startup here in India. So, like, for example, if we talk about the exemptions available to the newly incorporated startup in India, imagine you have a startup and you have a good product and you have done your proper market research and you started earning number from the very beginning and you have registered your company as a startup. So government proposed a 3-year tax holiday for such companies. So that is quite a beneficial and it is quite helpful for these startups to focus on their business and help them quite establish pretty well in the Indian scenario, so they can just come to market and compete properly with their contemporaries. So I find it quite useful, because we also suggest on a continuous basis to our clients that they should use the schemes introduced and launched by the Government of India for the newly established startups, and even not even the newly established startups, even the startups which are incorporated in the last 10 years, their forms under that criteria. So even you are a 10-year-old startup, you can utilize those schemes. So that is pretty helpful. That even you are unable to make numbers, you are unable to just establish your business in the first 5-3 years, then you can even take advantage if you are still in the developing phase. So I find, if you want me to talk in a real-time manner, I find these legal laws are pretty supporting for the startups established in India or about to establish in India.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah. So then if I come to your next question, which was like, what are the most important documents I would advise a startup should procure at the outset? See, if I tell you, I have seen a lot where new founders got confused, like where to begin, how to begin with, and what are the legal documentation which we should not miss out, and is there something important? So I think the topmost important thing here is the consultant who can advise them. But sometimes, in order to avoid that complex procedure or getting into the legality, they avoid. But if you want me to recommend, then I recommend top 5 document, which I highly recommend to have in place immediately post incorporation of a startup. Because if you got your certificate of incorporation, then you should have these documents in place, and like co-founders agreement. Nowadays, what happened, for example, you and me, we know each other, we are sharing good terms with each other, we have a good business idea, and we just incorporated a startup. Now it's good, it feels good, it seems good, but might on the later date, things quite turn ugly. With regard to the roles and responsibility, the sharing of numbers, who will get what. Even though I have encountered this in my experience, where two best friends started their business, and on the later date post fundraising, there was quite a mess with regard to the sharing of salaries. So co-founders agreements are highly preferable to the startup, that they should have that in place, so that there is a complete bifurcation of roles and responsibilities from the very beginning. And as I always therefore say to my clients, that contracts are always for the bad times, that you're never gonna look at a contract when things are going pretty well in your favor or in your company's or your startup's favor. You're gonna look at it when things turned a bit ugly. So you should have that co-founders agreement in place. And that is my genuine advice to all the startup entrepreneurs as well. Second, I would recommend NDAs, like non-disclosure agreements. Because sometimes a startup is always created out of some passion, the innovation, the business ideas, which we do not want to reveal easily, because we have worked day and night. Being an entrepreneur or a founder, you have spent a lot of your time on creation of that product, so you don't want that someone will easily have all the the recipe of your success. So you should always have, an entrepreneur, a founder should always have non-disclosure agreement with their key team members, so they can protect their crucial information. Because you must agree with me that nowadays people are coming up with the innovations and ideas, and if your startup hits the success, then you don't want someone to know about the secret of your success, and that is the time when these NDAs comes into the picture. Third, I would say the IP cybersecurity agreement. It's like when, especially for the tech startups, because nowadays we see there is a plethora of tech startups are coming. There is a, you can see, so you know, there is a flood of tech startups. Everyone is into the tech industry, and And there is always a secret recipe everyone is working upon and something to offer to the market. So in order to protect that IP right, you are creating, working, developing, you should have that IP assignability agreement, at least not with every employee. Then I recommend at least execute with your key employees, specifically the one who involved in building your tech products. Then comes in the picture employment contract. Employment contract, I have seen 70% of the startups at the initial stage skip these things. Trust me, I've seen founders saying that why do we need employment contract? I'm just signing this person. And they even started paying salary without the employment contract, which is totally not a good practice and it's totally not recommendable. Because what happens, like I've said earlier, when things turn ugly, when that employee leaves, then you have nothing to look upon. You cannot recall the terms you have agreed. And everyone can just take the back seat. At that time, these things help. Last but not the least at all, the shareholders agreement. Like nowadays there is a flood of valuation and fundraises coming, and even startups started their fundraise process from the home itself, and they raise angel rounds from their friends and family, and because of the good terms, reputation and the bond, they skip these shareholders agreement. But I highly prefer that every startup, unincorporated startup, should from the very beginning have a shareholders agreement in place. Because what happens if your startups multiplies by 5 in the next few years, then your shareholder might have asked you for the dividends, their rights, their participation in the company. But you can deny nor you can accept, because you don't have any concrete document in place. This is where the shareholders agreement help you. So getting the correct document in place is as equal as important as getting the right legal advisor who can guide you with the best advice. Because sometimes what happens, in addition to these documents, there are few documents become crucial at the very beginning according to the industry you are operating into. Policies which should be in place from the very beginning. So this is all what I can suggest with regard to the important document a startup cannot afford to ignore.
That is quite comprehensive and very insightful. And moving on to the next question, what do you think are the legal compliances required in India?
If we talk about the legal compliance in general, then there are a lot of compliances, Yash, because we are quite in a complex structure where we need to comply finance point of view, legal point of view, IP assignability, tech, and secretarial point of view. ROC filings are mandatory because there are many returns which become mandatory from the very beginning. But the compliances are applicable according to the size and structure of your startups or according to the industry you are operating in. There are certain standards which applicable to all the startups. But in addition to that, there are you can just jot down the list according to the size and the structure of your startup or according to the industry you are into. So this homework should be done prior to the company incorporation by the with the founders, that what their expectation, what the object they are going to pursue, what business they'll be carrying on. So on those lines, they can draw what will the mandatory returns or mandatory legal compliances applicability to their company. Should we continue with the next week? Can we move on to next question?
Yes,
what are the legal challenges faced by the startups in India and what can be done to improve the situation? Legal challenges. There are so many legal challenges, I will not say legal challenges. In totality, a law compliance challenge. Like, for example, it's not only legal, it's the finance, the legal, the IP, the secretarial. Founders are not even aware about anything. In general, because as a businessman, you have an idea in place, you're working on that idea, you want to have a startup in place, and you just want to go ahead with that. And in this complete process, you have lost what all the compliances you need to comply with. Even this happens with us recently because we have 70% of the startup client base. So we deal with these kind of new and different issues on a daily basis. And recently, one of our clients raised fund and they took the check and deposited the check in the regular bank account. And now the process we were following as per their shareholders agreement is they need to get a new bank account in place, and this is as per the law. And non-compliance of this will attract a provision of penalty, which is 2 CR. And then what happened? All of a sudden, this came to our knowledge and we informed them about this mistake. And they were like, we need to redo the entire thing. So it's not like that they intentionally face these challenges, they intentionally ignore anyhow in order to complete their business process, or in order to, because they are completely involved in doing business, they have lost on this track. So if I talk about the most frequent challenges my startup clients, as per my experience, faced, or the general startup faced, is like they are not lack of knowledge about the legal documentation. Like we have discussed earlier, like co-founders agreement, NDA, policies, because startup finds it trivial that we cannot waste all our time on all such things. Let's do the business first. But this can be damaging, and this damages the startups. I have seen it. So these are the challenges: lack of knowledge, lack of complete legal advisory. Like, if I talk about the next challenge, like registration of their trademarks, IP registration. Like, people are so passionate building a brand. They think day and night about a brand name. Then they made so many efforts in order to finalize that logo. And at the end, you forgot to register that. And you just came in the market with your passionate product, and someone else registered that. This happens even in the case of Sony, where someone registered PS5. Even such a major brand bears the repercussion of a single mistake, and it delays the launch of their product, I think, even for more than 6 months. So these kind of things, licensing is one of the example where founders are not aware what kind of license apply to their business, because in the very beginning they don't consult anyone, and the later on when things have already done, they then seek the advice. When they start to encounter the issues or the legal complexity, and or worst, we can say that when they start receiving the notice from the respective authorities. So at that time, they came to know okay, that we need to comply this as well or that as well. We were not aware. So a founder should always keep in mind that you should have a legal advisor on board, that from you can take the consultancy, that what you need to comply with. People think legal compliance as an overhead, but trust me, this is the foundation for any business working here in India. Like most of the startup founders are not aware about the legal laws and its applicability. And I frequently encounter this problem, and I find it quite disturbing that founder take their decision, make the commitment, finalize everything, and then they turn up to the legal professional. However, this should be other way around. Being a founder, you should approach your legal advisor first before anyone else, and understand that what you want to do or what you want to execute, whether it is doable or not. Is there any liability in terms of taxation, legal compliances associated with or not? But because they are not aware, because there is a lack of knowledge, or unintentionally, after completing everything, they come to us and saying, then please do the needful. And then the actual action begins. Then, and then at the end, sometimes we have to bear the repercussion for not taking the action beforehand, before executing anything. So if I have to conclude this, we cannot completely eliminate these challenges, but we can minimize this for the startups, because it's only require a lot of cautiousness from a founder's perspective, because you are the one. For example, generally, startups established with two or three founders, max to max four founders, then one person should be assigned for these roles and responsibility. These compliances should be part of one of the founders' roles, and so that you cannot miss, or you should remain compliant from the very beginning. Then this is not going to help you only in making your company compliant. This is going to help you in the fundraise as well, because investor will only invest in a company which is totally complied with the law. A law-abiding company always attract any startup. It is always an add-on advantage, and even you will not gonna receive any notice and any demand from any authority. So these are the challenges we can discuss in general with regard to the startups.
Moving on to our last question, what are the trends in the growth of startups and whether various schemes of the government have aided their expansion?
Trend in growth of schemes launched by the government. Yes, there are a lot of schemes launched. If you talk about the last 10 years, then you can see so there are n number of schemes introduced by the government of India, be it for the, not even for the urban startups, even for the rural startups as well. Like you have said at the introductory part, the Startup India scheme, this is really helpful for every startup, and I always highly recommend my clients to get their startup registered under the Startup India scheme, because you can less board compliance burden is there, tax exemptions are there, angel tax exemptions are there. So even though you are not aware, there is lack of knowledge, there is lack of direction, you still can protect, somehow protect or minimize the liability. So these, and even you in the fundraise process, these kind of registration helps you. Like even government also launched support for international patent. There is a reimbursement, of 15 lakh per invention government is offering, and that too at any stage. So see how helpful this can be for a tech-based startup who have their own innovation and they want to register for a patent. That this is mainly for encouraging the startup entrepreneurs or helping them. And I find it very fascinating that you are working on a patent and you will get half of the amount reimbursed. So you can cover up 15 lakh is not a short amount. You can cover up almost I think 3 years of compliance in that. In addition to that, there is in order to promote the young, you can say so, youth of our country, new generation innovation and entrepreneurship development scheme is there. This was launched in order to support and promote the entrepreneurship among the youth. So these are the schemes. I was just reading this morning, there was a news from Bits Pilani that they are giving a 1 year break to their students who want to work or establish a startup. So this is so wonderful that we are just moving towards the building brands, and we are so passionate about creating a good problem solving solutions, and it will gonna hit the market beautifully, and my customer needs it. So, but in order to create a business, one founder needs to understand that they cannot afford to miss the legal compliance. How much they help, they can also damage. Because if you don't comply the law in totality, they might damage your business. So you should take care of it from the very beginning that you need to comply, because the Indian startup ecosystem has been developing in leaps and bounds, with a large number of initiatives being taken up by the government in the private sector. So startups need to understand that they should take care of everything, and this is how they can grow beautifully. So, and even for startups, there are a lot of opportunity if they really want to succeed and work upon. So this is all what I can contribute with regard to the legalities here in India for the startups, and I hope this prove helpful for the people or the startup young entrepreneurs who are seeking advice.
This was a very deep and insightful conversation. Thank you very much for giving us with the insights that our listeners and potential entrepreneurs would be required to know before they
go starting up their startup. But apart from that, these questions that I had posed, is there anything that you would want to share from your experience, or if you have a vision as a lawyer towards the startup economy, or if there's anything in general that you would wish to convey to our listeners, then please do share it.
So in general, as per my experience of 10 plus years, so I just wanted to share that whenever you are establishing a startup, never overlook the compliance. Please always have a legal advisor from the very beginning and get a checklist in place. I do understand you cannot afford, sometimes startup not able to afford the cost, but somehow please try to manage it. Anyhow, but do not afford to, because there are so much schemes launched, so much supporting scheme launched by the government, which as an entrepreneur you might not aware of, but a good consultant can advise you on that front, and that can be proved so much so helpful for you or your startup that you can't even dreamt of. For example, recently, one of our clients was not aware, and we have told them to register on the Startup India, and post that we got them registered under tax exemption. Now, they are in, I think, they are earning their turnover is in crores, and they don't make note pay to the government the taxation. They are liable to pay if they are not registered under these tax exemption schemes. So see how much you can save from that. It's not only about the saving perspective, you can channelize that fund which you were about to pay in the taxation. Now you can invest that complete amount in your business itself. So, and I always, I'm unable to understand why there is a phase of valuation in the startups. Always focus on your base or on your foundation. If your market is right, your product is right, you will going to success no matter what. Just you need to take care of the legalities or the your business involved into. You should take care of the legal documentation, so nothing can hit you back, nothing can pull you back. Sometimes what happened, there is no employment agreement or the co-founders agreement, then you have to bear the repercussion at the very crucial stage of the like fundraising, when you are about to hit the market. So you should have that, you should plan that from the very beginning. And I think you cannot completely eliminate, but at least you can minimize it. So this is all what I can see an entrepreneur should take care of, and even the young entrepreneurs when they are just building a product. That rather than just please do not get fascinated by the idea of startup, create something good which is a problem solving in totality for the market and the customer who will be using your product and service.
That's a nice message to the listener. I'd like to thank you for coming on this podcast and taking time to share your views and knowledge on the subject matter. I'm quite sure that our listeners will be enriched through all this legal knowledge thereafter. Thank you very much, Bhavya.
Thank you, Jayosh. Thanks for having me here. It's a wonderful session. Thank you.